Ephesians chapter number 6. I saw the bus pull in. Praise the Lord for the young people downstairs. And we're putting junior church out in the addition underneath the foyer so that nobody else will text Brother Mike in the middle of service and say them kids need to quiet down. So they're out there in the foyer in the addition. And can I say this? It doesn't bother me one bit. We had a lady here, and her daughter started running around here. I said, praise the Lord. Doesn't bother. I preach in prison. There's more distractions than that. And that's the truth, isn't it? You preach in prison, Miss Jennifer, don't you? You teach. I understand. You preach at home. You teach in the jail. But so thankful for every one of them kids that are able to come in, and those faithful to go out there and knock on their doors on Saturday. And be able to bring them in, teach them the Bible, and praise the Lord for that. But I'm thankful for the addition we have out there. Use it for Sunday school, push the dividers back, have them ready to be able to teach. But it is for the purpose. They can get as loud as they want. And they're not underneath us now. Isn't that a blessing? It was interesting when they were upstairs here and we were downstairs and they're stomping on the floor. How many of y'all remember the good old days, huh? Wasn't that a blessing? I'm thankful that we have the kids and thankful that we have the bus if we can reach them before it's too late. Amen. You know, I walked into, and it was back when Eric Peters was here back in November, that walked into, I think it was Lowe's or Home Depot. And there was a young lady that was there. You could tell she was only 16, 17 years old, and we gave her a gospel tract, invited her to church. She said, I've been there. She said, the bus picked me up and brought me by. I said, you know, I was wondering how long it would be. Because you hear about that. You go into these bigger cities, Highland Park Baptist Church, Chattanooga, Tennessee. You run into people all the time. I mean, they're like, yeah, I used to go on the bus over to that church, and that church picked me up and brought me to Sunday school and on and on. I'm like, you know, I can't wait for the day. At least they hear the gospel. And praise the Lord for it. Thrill my soul to see the bus pull in there and that it's being used for bringing kids. You say, how many's on there? I have no idea. They're averaging about 12, maybe a dozen, 15, something like that. And so praise the Lord for it. That's 12 to 15. Yes, ma'am. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. At some point, we're going to actually switch it and put the junior church in the morning service so that our other families can avail themselves of junior church, and then it opens up some more seats upstairs here for us for the kids, too. And so I just thank the Lord to be able to reach in our community. Amen. Some of y'all were still looking for Ephesians chapter 6. That's why I could say all that. And so Ephesians chapter number 6, let's stand together, verse number 10. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. We'll stop there. The Bible says back here in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm just going to share a simple thought this afternoon on willing to stand. Willing to stand. I actually taught this devotion down at the State House and put this into a devotion Bible study format. And now over the past few weeks, because I taught to them, is it worth the stand? And then I thought, you know, I've never even preached that at church. And so the Lord had this on my heart over the past couple weeks. And I said, I just believe I'm going to preach that. and that the Lord would be pleased on willing to stand. Not, is it worth the stand? Because I'm just going to tell you, yes. It would be a short message to answer the question, is it worth the stand? Yes, it is. But willing to stand. The Bible says that ye may be able to stand the devil. Let's have a word of prayer, then you can be seated. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it's true. I thank you that through the power of the Scriptures and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, you give us everything in this Bible that's necessary for every day of our lives. Lord, every question that we may have, every temptation we may face, the answer to all of life's questions and all of the questions for eternity are found here in the Scriptures. Now, Lord, would you encourage us throughout today? And Lord, may you give us the strength to be able to stand and willing to. Thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Willing to stand, learning to stand. Someone once said that if you don't stand for anything, then you'll fall for everything. And I believe that's some of what the Bible's speaking about in the book of Ephesians, where he said, and be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. But it seems like in 2019 that the ability, and I'll take it a step further, not just the ability, but the willingness and desire to stand for what is true and what is right is few and far between. Some have said, and we've seen some pastors and preachers, and I want to be careful here because I'm praying that when I get to that advanced state of age, that I won't get to the point of throwing in the towel and just say I'm not willing to fight it anymore. That they've seen things go a certain direction and that they're not willing to stand, and maybe it's not worth the stand to them to stand in the same places. Can I say I'm desiring, and I believe that ministry would be, I don't think it's ever in vain when we're doing it for the Lord, but I'd hate to come to the end of my life and see years invested to take a hard left turn and not stand in the same places. I understand when one generation passes off the scene and the next generation makes their own choices. We see that all the way back with Joshua. The Bible says in Joshua 24, he made the statement, told them that they had to choose. Then he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But then it says, starting off, that they served the Lord all the days of Joshua and the elders that outlived Joshua. But then you start the book of Judges, and it says that they started doing every man that which was right in his own eyes. They were no longer standing where they once stood. I believe that there are fundamentals of the faith that we need to stand for. I believe our families we need to stand for. I believe the right to life we need to stand for. Do you know that even this week, I mean, just the overall cause of righteousness and holiness is worthy of the stand. Even this week, they're getting ready to vote on legalizing marijuana here in our state. I believe it's already passed the committee, and they'll be bringing it up in a full House session. You say, well, they ought to legalize it. No, they shouldn't. There's some things that are worth standing for. They're not realizing and understanding the roads that they go down. They're not dealing with the other side. We ought to take all the legislators into the broken homes. We ought to take them into the jailhouses. We ought to show them the results of all of this. You say, oh, it's just for recreational use. Yeah, and they'll have their pleasure for a season. And they'll have fun for a season. But at what cost? There's some things that are worth standing for. And may I remind us that there's sometimes it's not going to be a popular stand. Sometimes it's going to be a lonely stand. Can I say even inside of our own homes? There's sometimes that parents and anybody here that's ever tried to raise children, and I know that none of us are perfectionists at raising children, but when you love your children and you want what's best for them, there's sometimes, after all, it's the first word that they learn, no. But I think it takes about 25 years sometimes for parents to be able to learn a little two-letter word, no. And you say, but they're going to be mad at me. There's some things that are just worth the stand. That we're not heading that direction. But I want to share three things with you that the Lord spoke to my heart. I have them written down in my Bible just continually to be able to go back over them. First of all, I want you to see the endurance of the stand. I underline this phrase down in verse number 13 that he says, to take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and these four words, and having done all. And having done all. Some will say, well, I'm not able to fight the fight like what I used to be able to fight. No, but you can still stand the stand where you used to stand. I'm not one for backing up. I think maybe you found that out. It's not my personality to back down. I'm not one to pick a fight. I understand some other personalities, and I leave that up to them if they want to pick a fight, but I'm not going to run from one. Especially when it comes to the cause of truth and righteousness. Especially when it comes to the subject matter of doctrinal purity here at Granite State Baptist Church. This is where we are going to stand. But what I've found out is, and I'm trying to learn from a previous generation, that there's a lot of times that the endurance of the stand takes a toll on older believers. That they've been standing, not just standing, but they've been fighting the fight for years. They've been aggressive. They've been going after it. They've been conquering new ground. But then they come to a point that, listen, the endurance just to stand. It just takes everything they've got. They're not conquering new territory, Brother Doug. They're not saying, hey, we're further along this week than what we were last week. But the Bible says when you come to that point and having done all, you're not wrestling anymore. You're not advancing. You're not fighting. You're having done all to stand. Make sure at that point that you have the whole armor of God to be able to stand. History tells us there's two illustrations, and I've never preached an entire message on this, but years ago, as I was just doing some extra biblical study, and if I can say this, just history, I believe someone ought to read. You ought to keep getting educated. I found out that when they were settling the frontier down in Texas, that they were making great headway as far as civilization goes. Now you go down there, you don't think they're civilized anywhere. But making headway and settling the frontier and bringing peace for the settlers to be able to go down and conquer and be able to settle down across Texas. And the frontier line, they had moved it to about 120 or 125 miles west of Dallas-Fort Worth. They were settling the land. The settlers were coming. It was being inhabited. They had civilization. But then something happened. The Civil War started. And so now the soldiers that were fighting and they were settling down there in Texas and pushing the frontier back, now they left the frontier. And now they came back east and they were fighting the Civil War. In other words, they started fighting each other. Just in those short 4.5 years, what was it, 1861 to 1865. By the time they got back to Texas, the frontier line had moved from 120 to 125 miles west of Dallas, all the way back to within 10 or 15 miles. And all the land that they had fought and bled for and stood for and conquered and settled, they had just lost all of it. And now they had to come back and fight the same battles all over again. And I thought, what a spiritual application. Because we're supposed to be conquering new land and new territory and going forward for the cause of Christ. But sometimes when we're fighting the wrong battles, it takes all we can do just to stand. And our endurance level begins to fade, and we're saying, listen, I can't fight like I used to. I can't advance like I used to. And the Lord is saying, listen, when you come to that point and you have done all, just stand. And don't give up the ground. Just stand for what is true and what is right. Every one of us could give testimonies of people we've known, of ministries, of churches, places across our nation, that they're no longer where they used to be. Do you know what happened? They just quit standing for some of the same things. And maybe they said, well, it's not just worth it anymore. Maybe they said, well, it's not popular anymore. Maybe it's because, hey, we're not going to be able to advance like we want to advance. How about advancing like God wants us to advance? The endurance of the stand. You say, when can we quit standing? I was reminded of this when I read back in Joshua chapter number 3. Where it started talking, chapter 3, where they were crossing the Jordan River. And remember the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says that they stood in the midst of the Jordan River. And the Bible says this, till all the Israelites passed clean over Jordan. Till all of them. And I thought, you know, some of them probably started getting worn down. You're talking, some have estimated 2-3 million people. And here's the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant. They're standing there in the midst of the river while the entire nation is passing over beside them. And they could not quit standing there until the entire nation had crossed over. And I thought, you know how long we have to stand? Just until our purpose is fulfilled for God. And then I believe he'll come back and he'll say, it's okay. Come on to heaven now. You can quit standing there. I wondered how many, listen, the endurance for the stand, how many have found out that it's easier to stand when people are coming by saying, hey, thank you for standing there. I wonder how many walked by and said thank you to the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant saying, hey, you saved my life today because you're standing in the same place. If it's human nature, they probably didn't even have 10% walk by. In fact, some of them probably walked by not even understanding what they were going through and said, hey, why are you guys still standing there? I wonder if they wanted to look back at him and say, because it's saving your life. And a memorial was established. You know the story. They set up 12 stones on the west side of Jordan. They set up 12 stones on the east side of Jordan where it came in and out. And every time they had to pass them stones, remember what God had done right there. Can I say it's worth it, even though you get wore down, to stand where you're supposed to stand? Parents, don't give in. It is worth it. There were times that my dad looked at me and said, this is what we're going to do, not because you like it, not because it's popular, but here's what he said. He said, your last name is Chamberlain. And he said, you're going to do it because of the family name. And Chamberlains just don't go that direction. And we just stand firm. And I thought, you know, there's some things we just need to stand for. And we're going to need endurance. We're going to need stamina. Have you found out the Christian life, if you're going to live holy and righteous in this present world with the amount of sin that's around, listen, it's going to take some strength. It's not for sissies. It's not to be blown about with every wind of doctrine. It's not for, hey, I can stand for this one day, stand for something else the other day. We're not politicians, by the way. We're Bible believers. If this book hasn't changed, then what we're standing for hasn't changed. And we ought to stay with it. The endurance of the stand. But then let me share this with you in verse number 12. We see the enemy of the stand. You know, it's real easy to stand when the wind's not blowing contrary to you. It's easy to stand when nobody's fighting against you. Hey, man, this is easy. Hey, I can stand. Everybody loves me. Everything's wonderful. I mean, we're in lollipop land. I mean, everything's great. But hold on. We got to remember there's an enemy of where the Bible believer stands. And can I say this? It's not the person sitting next to you either. It's not the person across the church. It's not the church across town. It's not the church in another state. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's an enemy that the Bible believer, as they endeavor to stand and try to endure in their standing, that is going to fight you every step of the way. You say, I don't like that. Neither do I. I want to be able to do what's right, never have any opposition whatsoever. Wouldn't that be wonderful in the Christian life? But when the Lord Jesus himself says, hey, I don't want you to think it's strange. They hated me. They're going to hate you. In fact, I'm so sure that they're going to persecute you, I'm going to tell you to love them that persecute you. I'm going to tell you to pray for them that despitefully use you. James comes along and he says, hey, count it all joy. Now, he must have been messed up in the head to write something of count it all joy. I'm thinking, listen, we start going through things in life, we have to keep our focus on who exactly we're fighting. Now, there's sometimes that a human being may be the physical manifestation of that fight. But I believe if our spiritual eyes could be opened and we truly understand and could truly see, and I'm so thankful because we'd all go crawl in a hole somewhere if we saw the spiritual wickedness in high places and we actually saw what was taking place out there. Listen, I believe we'd all fold it in and head to the house. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Understand this, your fight in your Christian life is not with your brother or sister in Christ. Now, sometimes they are the manifestation of that. When some try to compromise and go a different direction, listen, we need to stand against that. We need to say, hey, that's the direction that we are not willing to go. I believe we'll just stand where God has told us to stand. Whether the entire world passes us by or not, I'd rather get to heaven and be able to say, and the Lord say, thank you for standing there. It'd be okay. Can I say we do have an enemy that is going to fight you, is going to fight me, tooth and nail, going to fight your family? If there is ever a day and age, listen, I've talked with other pastors, you know, when we get together and gossip and things like this. Talked with other pastors, and they've admitted the same thing. The outright attack on the family. I mean, not even sending them into sin, but just the disunity, just to be able to get them distracted, to be able to tear husbands and wives apart, to be able to tear the children away from the parents, till finally the family just comes to the point and says, I give up. Well, let them just go do what they're going to do anyway. I can't do any good. Sometimes I do want to look at people and say, you know something, you're the adult. But we've gotten the mentality, you've probably seen the t-shirt and everything. Some probably own the t-shirt. I don't feel like adulting today. We get kids. Listen, mine's only 19 years old. There hasn't been a day that I've been able to look at my kids and say, listen, I just don't feel like parenting today. You know there's never a time we're able to do that. Just to be able to throw in the towel and say, no, I'm not going to stand there anymore. I'm going to change it. No, there is an enemy that is against the stands that we take according to the Word of God. And it's going to take endurance to be able to stand there. My dad, every time that he'd start talking about us kids, a tear would always come to his eye. He wasn't always the most popular dad. Wasn't always the most popular mom. But always have a tear in his eye, started talking about his kids and start saying, you know something, they're all faithful in church today. We're not setting the woods on fire, but they're serving the Lord. Weren't perfect. But I will say this, and I said it at his funeral. I said it wasn't always popular, and sometimes it cost immediate relationship with us. Sometimes it cost immediate relationships with friends. But when my dad had something in his mind and in his heart where he was going to stand, it didn't matter who. came up and said, you need to change that. And I thought, you know, my fight's not with anybody else, but there is a higher power that we are fighting against. We talked about it some on Thursday night. Understanding. Do you realize that if you are a blood-bought child of God today and you're saved and on your way to heaven, the devil cannot have your soul. He can't. You cannot give it to him. You cannot make an agreement with him. No matter what your country songs say or anything like this, he can't take it from you. Can't happen. We're eternally secure. But the only thing he can go after is your testimony. And he can go after your family. And he can try to do everything he can do to destroy the testimony and reputation that you have for Christ. You say, he's trying to make me look bad? No. He's trying to make Christ look bad. Because then there's going to be those dozens, sometimes hundreds, that stand around and say, yeah, they said they were a Christian and look at them now. Yeah, some Jesus that they serve. Can I say the devil has a master plan going after God's creation? He can't take my soul to hell, but he'd do everything he could do to destroy your testimony and my testimony while we walk here upon this earth. And if our young people get a hold of that, the devil's going to try to do everything they can do. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You say, well, Pastor, the way you're preaching on it doesn't seem like we have much hope whatsoever. I mean, if we're doing all we can do just to stand, sometimes, and you know this, just getting up and walking into church on a Sunday morning is you're doing everything you can do. But praise the Lord, you showed up. Praise the Lord. And don't stop showing up. You say it doesn't seem like much hope. Boy, if you're saying it, boy, it's a feel-great message. It's going to take endurance just to be able to stand. There's an enemy that is constantly fighting against. You understand the devil doesn't take a break. The devil's not sleeping. If you say, hey, the devil's not fighting me right now, just be assured he's just regrouping. He may be studying you a little bit further, saying, here's another little area. Boy, they've got it fortified over here. But here's a little place they left open. Here's a breach in the wall. And I'll just be able to get in there. You say, how in the world can we even make it? How many have ever said that you feel sorry for your kids and grandkids having to grow up in this world? We've talked about that. Do you know where things are going to be 20 years from now with the amount of sin that's taken place? I mean, when they call wrong right and right wrong, and I mean, it's getting to the point they're trying to pass laws that, honestly, they'll say the Bible's hate speech within 10 years. They're trying to pass laws across our nation, and it's just a back door trying to get into it to be able to say that Bible's hate speech. You say, what's the hope? How in the world do we have anything whatsoever that we could still stand for? Is it even worth it? And how in the world do we do it? Let me finally say this afternoon, the energy for the stand. I'll start with this. I don't believe in energy drinks. I don't believe you ought to be running on Monsters and Red Bulls. There was a preacher that tore into a whole bunch of preachers over in the Philippines. Because they'll run 18, 20 hours a day over there doing the ministry, doing the work. But you walk to the refrigerator in their office and open it up and it's got 30 Red Bulls in there. Boy, he tore into them about going in the power of Red Bull and not the power of the Holy Spirit. He did. And I said, boy, I'm glad I don't drink Red Bull. But the energy, you say, how do we do it? You say, yeah, you just have to have your coffee. Can I say we're not going to be able to wrestle and fight against the wiles of the devil? We're not going to be able to stand against those things. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, in the power of his might. Do you understand physically? This is a losing battle. With the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. Physically, that's a losing battle. You won't be able to stand. But he said, in the power of his might. Now the problem is, we try to go each and every day And I've heard some preachers say, hey, listen, if the devil were to walk in here right now, I'd walk right up to him and I'd knock him across the chin. Can I say this? If the devil doesn't have me on his radar, I'm not going to try to get on his radar, okay? I believe we ought to be living for God. I believe we ought to be doing what's right. But none of this, none of the spiritual stand, none of standing with our armor on, none of this can take place if it's in the power of the flesh whatsoever. None of it. I talked to a man one time, we were getting on an airplane flying somewhere. That's the purpose of getting on an airplane. We were getting ready for another trip after we came back from it. And I think it was over to Kazakhstan is where we're going to be heading. There's a national pastor over there wanting to do a work. And he'd been over there several times and I'd never been. And I told him, we're praying that trip through. And I said, Brother Charlie, I said, you got peace about that trip? He said, Brother, I'm glad you asked me that. He said, I can't get an ounce of peace from God. He said, for getting on an airplane and flying over there. I said, well, brother, you can call me unspiritual. You can call me weak, whatever. I said, but unless God changes that, I said, I'm not getting on an airplane and flying over there. I said, God's got to say you've got to do it. I said, because if we try doing it in the power of our flesh, I said, especially in a place like this, listen, it can be just as dangerous downtown Concord, okay? But I'd rather be somewhere in the will of God, walking in the Spirit, in the power of His might, than at any day in my flesh. And can I say from experience, I've had those days in my flesh, and I don't like them. In fact, I just text Ricky Dunsford this morning. He's preparing, he's preaching down in Alabama today, getting ready for the prison revivals and campaign tomorrow. He said, pray for me. This was early this morning, about 6:30. He said, pray for me. It's one of them days. He said, my brain's not engaging. I said, been there. I said, and it's usually days like that that when it does engage, you want to pop someone's head off. I said, I'm sure going to pray for you today. I said, I'm going to pray for that congregation too. I said, because if you don't have it right, I said, there's no telling what you're going to preach. I said, when you get up behind that pulpit. Can I say this? Walking in the power of the flesh. We cannot, we read it in Romans chapter 8, cannot please God. And we will have a defeated life on a daily basis if we are not endeavoring to stand in the power of His might. If we're saying, I've got this, hey, listen, not a problem, we can run this. Hey, I've got the mental ability, I've got the physical ability, I can think it through, I can talk my way through. Hey, we're going to be okay. We'll fall flat on our face if we're not doing it in the power of His might. And the energy to be able to stand does not come because you drank a pot and a half of coffee this morning. One pastor said he gave up coffee. He was drinking, honestly, just in his devotion times, he was going through a 12-cup pot. Just at his devotion times, told another preacher one time, he said, I've given up coffee. He said, this is how much I was drinking. He said, I was addicted to it. He said, I gave it up now. About 2 months later, the guy saw him and he was drinking a cup of coffee. He said, I thought you gave that up. He said, found out I wasn't addicted. I started drinking it again. And I thought, we try to do so many things, listen, in the power of our flesh. And we get up every morning, walk out the door. And we haven't even spent 1 minute with God. We haven't read the scriptures one bit. And I'm thinking, listen, I learned a long time ago. We started going into prison. Miss Jennifer, you know it, walking inside there. That's the devil's backyard. And you start walking in there and you don't have the touch of God on you. And go through life and we're trying to be a blessing to those that are around. It's no wonder we wear down spiritually so quick and so often. Because we haven't even given a thought to spending time with God. Getting into that book and saying, God, I sure need your strength today. Let me tell you something. God will do more through us in 5 minutes under the influence and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God than we'll do all day long in the power of the flesh. And you know what the difference is? Those 5 minutes will last for eternity. Or we'll labor all day long in the flesh and get there and say, hey, there's nothing there. far as God's concerned, we did nothing because it was in the flesh. I'm thinking, if we're going to stand, we're not going to do it outside of the power of His might and the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. He ended the armor of God in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You say, oh no, He ended it with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. No, there's a colon at the end of verse number 17. And then it says, praying always. We better realize the battle that we're in as believers. Better not have our head in the sand. Understand, and there is an outright attack, I believe, on Christianity, on everything that we stand for. You say, yeah, I just heard about the bills that they're passing, being able to murder babies. Listen, that's been around for years. But when you start hearing about, listen, this man calling himself a Christian abortion doctor, I made mention of it Thursday night. That's just wickedness. I mean, now they're having to ask candidates that are running for president, would you support actually murdering a baby after they're born? Where does it stop after that? You say, what hope is there? We need to stand. It is worth it. But we better not do it in the power of the flesh, because someone's always going to come along with a better human argument for all of it. We better not be in the power of the flesh. We better be walking in the Spirit. Our young people, boy, they need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Not to follow their flesh. But this is what I want. This just feels so good. It makes everybody else laugh. But God's not laughing. He's saying you better be in the power of His Spirit. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I would go on to say that I do not believe that we can put on the whole armor of God without being strong in His might. We're not going to put it on by the flesh. Not going to. I want to ask you this. I wonder, in things that God has revealed to you in your personal life, in your family life, are you still standing in the same place that you used to? Or I wonder if we've just gotten to the point of said it's just not worth the fight anymore. They're going to do what they want to do. I'd rather have peace. Can I say this? I'd rather have peace with God. I haven't been the perfect parent. My kids would be the first one to tell you Ruth hasn't always been happy with Daddy. Now, it breaks my heart. There's only one girl in this world that I love more than my baby girl. But you know something? I don't want them to be able to say they compromised. I want to be able to say they stood. And when they've done everything else they could, at least they stood. Can I say I got men to look up to? I think it's a blessing. I look up to Brother and Sister Shepherd. To be able to hear stories from 40 years ago, they haven't changed. Brother Jackson, not able to be here today. They were having freezing rain up there. Text me, hey, we're not going to be able to make it freezing rain up here. The ice is covering the roads. I'm thankful for men of God and families. Listen, not even pastors, but men and ladies that have just stood. They've had the whole armor of God. They've stood in the same positions. You say, I don't agree with all that. They stood. It's what God gave to them for their walk, and in the power of His might, they've stood. And I'm sure praying God would allow us to be a church that's made up of families, that's made up of individuals that will stand, will endure, understanding the enemy, and have the energy in the power of His might, and we're strong in the Lord, and when we've done everything else, at least we can stand. It's worth it. It's worth it. Stand where you're supposed to. Amen? Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we sure do love You today. Lord, I thank You so much for examples that are right here at Granite State Baptist Church. Lord, not perfect people. Lord, people that have just stood where you've told them to stand when it was unpopular. Maybe when the wind of change was blowing contrary to them. Maybe when their own family or their own church told them they didn't need to stand there anymore. They still stood. Because it wasn't them that told them to stand there in the first place. It was you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give the energy in the power of your might. You'd give the strength and the endurance as we understand the very enemy that is fighting against the cause of Christ. And may at the end of the day, as we stand before you, may you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Help us to be found faithful to you. We sure do love you. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. God's faithful.